Do you know the LA Kings have their own culinary partner? It's Superfood, celebrating 10 years and over a million meals served. Since 2020, the Kings have trusted Superfood to fuel their players. Now through Simply Lunch, you can bring that same performance-driven food to your office. Because when people eat better, they work better. Visit MySuperfood.com. That's MySuperFD.com. Or call 213-973-6145. Qualified companies can enjoy a free lunch for up to 10 managers.
Edmondson for Fiala. His shot, they score! Corey Perry tips it in from the top of the blue paint, and the Kings tie it with a power.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
Clark, center point, backpedals, then feeds Byfield, right circle, shoots, score!
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
All right, it's Monday morning. That means it's time to crown a King of the Week. Joining me today, Russell Morgan. How are you doing today, Russell?
I'm doing good, Jesse. Good to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Now, ordinarily, I'd have you on with your pal Joe, but because you've recently moved, I wanted to have you on by, I don't know why, but I just thought, oh, we'll have Russ on by himself. So for starters, why don't you just let everybody know, I know you said it on social media, but we'll just rehash, you've moved to Arizona.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it for a while. I most of my family had pretty much migrated out here. So my sister recently had twins too. So, and she had an 18th month old. And So they had already been pulling me to come out. So to be the good uncle I am, decided to make the trek back over. And I went to school out here. I still have a real solid base out here. So it was a pretty easy decision, I feel like. I mean, obviously there's a little bit of a tough decision with like leaving, being around the rink and all the friends and people like you that I would see all the time. I mean, it's sad to see those people leave, but it was nice to have my last game, I think was the Calgary game. It was nice to kind of say goodbye to everybody, but I'll be around. Maybe I'll try to get to a game in Vegas or eventually we'll get some hockey out here, hopefully. So
I think the market still owns the copyright or the name or whatever. I don't know. I'd never really understood that. And you're a better uncle than I am. I'm still yet to meet my niece. She'll be two. Actually, she might already be two. Anyway, I'm meeting her later this month for the first time. So you're a better uncle than I am. You know the drill. We're going honorable mention, runner up, and king of the week for week 13. That's three games. I was a little nervous that we wouldn't have a lot to talk about, but I feel like we do. So let's get into it. Who's your honorable mention?
I feel like this one's pretty easy, and it sounds like with like a lot of people that come on here, they kind of go off the grid with the honorable mentions. And for me, I mean, with the World Juniors going on and the game that we just got finished, Wojtek Cihos, man, I am a huge fan of this player, the forward from Czechia, King's second round pick from last year's draft. He had two goals tonight, the empty net goal to seal it, and the first goal he had was incredible. Yeah, kind of streaming really nice down the wing. And I know you're Canadian, so I don't want to get too...
You know what? It's funny. If Carter George had been in net, my feelings might have been a little bit hurt. But since he wasn't, I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's a nice...
That's kind of how I felt, too. It made it easier to kind of root against them because I was like, oh, yeah, I want to see Carter George do well because he's a great prospect, great kid. He's good to talk to. But since he wasn't playing, I was like, oh, well, I'm full Czechia now. And
Cihos is having an incredible tournament. Was he got like 11 points in six games or something? Like, it's crazy.
I think he's leading the tournament in points now after the two goals.
Great player. Right, so that's your honorable mention. I like it. I have this dumb pattern that I follow where if somebody scores a first goal or something, they get my honorable mention. So Sammy Hellenius gets my honorable mention. I've already said this multiple times, but I find it fascinating that Turcotte gets an assist on that goal, but doesn't get a plus one because he passed the puck to Fiala. Fiala rushes up the ice. Turcotte leaves the ice. Hellenius comes on to swap out for Turcotte, crosses the blue line. I mean, he's on the ice for maybe 2 seconds before he scores the goal, and just blasts it, and it winds up going in and a fairly important goal. So Sammy Hellenius gets my honorable mention. In part of it is, you know, that he only plays, I guess he's been playing a little bit more than usual, but I mean, he's averaging 5 minutes, 51 seconds in those three games over the last week, but he gets a goal. So he's got 1 point and he's a plus two. And you know, he won 45.5% of his faceoffs in those three games. Like, he's doing what he's meant to do. And yeah, I think, anyway, he's my honorable mention.
Love it. I mean, I don't want to ruin my runner up, I guess.
Yeah. But, well, let's get into it. What was your runner up?
I mean, my runner up was going to be Sammy Hellenius. I mean,
All right, great.
I look at some of the, it feels like it was kind of a tough one to get runner up. The king of the week might be pretty easy, but for me, runner up, I look at Kevin Fiala's 4 points in three games. I also see his minus four. There's been some games in there that I just didn't really like from Fiala. Some other players I thought had some pretty decent showings. Quentin Byfield had a multiple effort in the last game. But even then, he's been really kind of up and down. And even in the Wild game, it was up and down for him then. I mean, but Sammy Hellenius, and I guess I can couple him in with Jeff Malott, who just got back into the lineup, had that great shot for a goal, and both of them were plus one. So, I mean, they're out there doing their job. It's not like they're out there getting a ton of minutes, so they try to make the most of it. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be perennial, like consistent NHL players, but for right now, I think that they're making the most of what a fourth line could be for the Kings, which is kind of a makeshift fourth line right now with Trevor Moore being out and whatnot. So I've been, I guess, plenty pleased with what I've been seeing with Hellenius now that Deneau's gone and seeing that he's been able to take the role that he's been given and try to make the most of it.
Well, Hellenius is a funny one, because he's a second round pick and he's still very young. You know, I think it's tempting because the team is so, you know, old and they have a lot of veterans. I think it's easy to think of a lot of the players as being older, but Hellenius is, what is he, 21, 22? Like, he might be the youngest player. Maybe he and Brant Clark are the same age. I'm looking it up real quick here. Yeah, he's 20. Oh, he's 23. Oh, whoops. All right. Well, he's 23, so he's not as young as I thought he was. But still, he's relatively...
He's young NHL career, like, season.
Yeah, he still has upward mobility. Yeah. Right, like we know what most of the guys on the roster are. Sammy Hellenius could still wind up a third line player, a fourth line. Mm-hmm. Like we know, generally speaking, what his role is. But yeah, he probably won't be 3 minutes a game for the rest of his career. He'll probably wind up playing more minutes per game as his career progresses. And you know, he not only did he have that goal, he had a big hit. I can't remember, was it the Tampa game or the Minnesota game? Yeah, he's leading the way on that line with Malott and Perry or whoever it is, depending on the night. And yeah, I mean, he's doing exactly what's asked of him. And and listen, last year when they were playing all four lines, they were having success with it. And I think it's a pretty common refrain from most corners of the Kings fan base that this team is better when they play their full roster than when they don't. And you know, Jim Hiller said recently that he wouldn't play whoever the fourth line center was a lot of minutes, regardless of who it was. But he has been playing Sammy Hellenius a lot more than he was in weeks past. So, yeah, I think Hellenius has had a really good showing.
I would like to just see – the thing that's difficult with that is I feel like we haven't even really seen him get a chance to showcase his talents for a longer period, or maybe even a longer or more time on ice, even in a game. I remember when Hiller had made that statement that you were kind of referencing, where he said like, oh, we've already had discussions where you're only gonna be playing 3 minutes a night. I'm like, you haven't even seen him play since Deneau's been gone. Like, how can you make that assumption already that he can't kind of fill a role that can be there? So, and I understand like there maybe are some limitations to his game. Maybe he's not the fleetest of foot player out there, but I mean, if he can be that physical kind of in your face type of player, drop the gloves here and there. I mean, he scored a big goal in a big moment. So I'd like to see him get a better opportunity.
Yeah. And he played, I think, less than 5 minutes in that Minnesota game, but over the three game sample, I saw this earlier. I'm going to try and find it here. His, like when he's on the ice, it's him and Clark. When they're on the ice, the other team gets virtually no counterattack going. And it's kind of fascinating that he doesn't play these minutes. And this is the big, you know, argument. Like, I think when Brant Clark was on the ice against, and I'm not focusing on Brant Clark, we're talking about Hellenius, but when Brant Clark was on the ice against Minnesota, the Kings had 17 shots on goal and Minnesota had zero at even strength. And yet he was the fifth, you know, fifth defenseman in terms of time on ice at even strength. And so you go, well, what are we doing here? Meanwhile, Hellenius, if I can find it. Oh, actually, it wasn't as good as I thought. Well, maybe I'm. Maybe it was somebody else. Anyway.
In the three, I have this. So in the three games that he played, he outshot his opponent 7-1. He was on the ice for two goals. Is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was looking at a totally different name. I don't know how that happened. But yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And 2 goals for when he was on the ice to 1-0 goals against. 7 shots for, one shot against. I mean, they're getting it done when he's out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of their opportunities are kind of, or a lot of their shifts are mostly starting in the offensive zone, which I mean, is it what it is with those type of players? But yeah, I agree. Like, it's not like he's hurting the team right now. Yeah. It seems like to me. I mean, so I just would like to see him get more ice time. Mm-hmm. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting an extra minute here or there, but yeah, it'd be nice to see a lot more. My runner-up is a player that you mentioned already, and you were sort of leaning away from him, but I'm going to lean into it. My runner-up is Kevin Fiala, because Kevin Fiala had 4 points, a goal, 3 assists. He was a -4. He's still doing some of this Fiala stuff that drives people crazy, but it's happening less and less. And in the last three games, I felt like he and Kuzmenko were really interesting out there. And listen, Kevin Fiala, from my perspective, maybe other people won't agree with this, I think has a tendency over the last however many years to become a much better player at about the halfway mark of the season. And we're at 40 games in right now, and we're starting to see the dipsy doodling and the blue line turnovers and the risky play reduce, and we're just starting to see the offensive powerhouse that he can be. And he had some really nice plays, you know, not all of them wound up in goals or assists, but he had some really nice plays. I really like the idea of him and Kuzmenko as a line together. I would like to see maybe a different center tried out with that line, just selfishly, just out of curiosity more than anything. It's not that I don't think Turcotte has played well. I'm just, like I said, I'm just curious. But that is in essence the top line and has been for the last couple games, especially, and in the Minnesota game again, Kevin Fiala didn't get the most time on ice. That's still Byfield. Actually, no, you know what? I take it back. He did get the most 5-on-5 against Minnesota. All strengths. He did all strengths, too. Doughty, Anderson, and then Fiala, 22-30 against Minnesota. But even in games when he doesn't get the most time on ice as an individual, that line of Turcotte, Kuzmenko, and Fiala plays the most minutes as a three-man unit. And so that has sort of become the de facto top line. And Kevin Fiala is starting to play like it. So, 4 points, he looked good. He's my runner-up.
We're creeping closer to Fiala February.
That's yes.
Where, is that where we're going? Comes up to play. But yeah. And I totally agree with you. The Fiala-Kuzmenko kind of pairing, it seems it's a lot of fun. At least is what I characteristic by, and I totally agree too that I would like to see a different center there. I'd love to see Quentin Byfield in that position. I feel like that's a player that maybe those two players can kind of elevate Byfield even more so. I mean, Byfield and Armia have been playing really well. I haven't really seen much chemistry between Byfield and Vogel, so I feel like that's just a line that's just out there trying to make the most of what they can do, and there's really not a ton of offense that's being made there. So I mean, if you're able to put like you said, nothing against Turcotte, because I think he's been pretty solid, but if you can get a player like Byfield there, who I just think is a better overall player, kind of help out and maybe be a complimentary piece to what Fiala and Kuzmenko are able to do, maybe they can get some.
I mean, here's the crazy thing to me: we saw earlier this year Byfield, Kempe, and Fiala. They didn't love it. So okay, Byfield, Fiala, and Kuzmenko. Like, you've been trying to find homes for all these different players. You're cobbling together a first line with the fastest, most offensively gifted players. You have your second overall center draft pick, who is, I mean, anybody who is seriously discussing this who doesn't, you know, any voice that is not coming from inside the organization acknowledges that Quentin Byfield has to be your number one center next year. And mm-hmm. and in order for the quote unquote rebuild, whatever you want to call it, to be effective and have worked and be worth it, Quentin Byfield has to emerge as a power, as a powerful force for the LA Kings. Well, okay, we can figure out Adrian Kempe next year, I guess. But for this year, he's playing with Andre Kopitar, and you've got Kuzmenko and Fiala. Like, I just don't understand why we're not at least trying to see what would happen if you put Byfield there. I don't get it personally, but
that's just me. Yeah, agree.
All right, then your runner-up, Russ.
My King of the Week. I'll go with my King.
Sorry, your King of the Week. Sorry, I got totally lost. You're right.
Yeah, I think it's easy for this week. I think it's got to be Corey Perry. He's got 5 points in the three games. 4 points on the power play.
I'm just going to hop in and say it is also my King of the Week. So yeah, you don't have to split it later on. We can just talk about Corey Perry endlessly.
I mean, it's just weird, Jesse, that I think about it all the time. It's just weird we're out here gushing about Corey Perry and like Kings mm-hmm. uniform. Still very weird to me, but I love it. I mean, he's been one of the few, I guess, bright spots of the season this year. He just kind of he had a little bit of a slump, I guess. I mean, kind of this, he set the bar pretty high when he first started.
Yeah, I mean, let's call it a pointless streak.
Slump is maybe a little harsh, but but this last three games, this last week, he's kind of seemed to get it back going, and I like what they're doing on the power play mm-hmm. lately. It's been better, so would like to see some more consistency, even though I think they've scored in three or four straight games. So for whatever's happening, I think Hiller's running the show now. I like the configuration so far. It seems to be working, and Byfield seems to be shooting more on that unit. It's a very strange, like, put together unit too, with I think Kopitar and Kempe aren't even on that unit. So I think it's Kuzmenko, Fiala, Byfield, Clark, mm-hmm. and Perry, if I'm not wrong. And they seem to be making things happen, and Corey Perry's just kind of parking himself down low. And he just turned into like a backboard almost for Byfield on that goal the other day. And people were saying that Byfield just missed the net. And I was like, no, I think he pretty much was just shooting at Corey Perry so that way he can just kind of bank it off of him. And sure enough, it works. So, but that's what Corey Perry does. I mean, he just puts himself in the right position. And that's how he's been a Hart Trophy in his career. And he's turned out to be probably a Hall of Fame type player in his career too. And he's still playing pretty well at his age for the Kings this year.
Yeah, the wildest thing to me about the whole power play.
The power play has been better, just to kind of help you out there.
It is, but I mean, Jim Hiller said, I don't remember when it was a week or two ago, that they were eliminating the concept of a top unit and a second unit, right? And he said, whoever scores will be the top unit. And then you go out there and you look and you say, okay, Brant Clark, Corey Perry, Kevin Fiala, Quentin Byfield, Andre Kuzmenko all played more than a minute on the power play against Minnesota. Kopitar, Kempe, Laferriere, and Armia played less than a minute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you go like, okay, well, he's sticking to his word. You know, that unit is having success. I got the numbers wrong. But those guys, that secondary unit are playing more than the top unit are on the power play. Now, some of them are still getting... So Kopitar has got 155, Kempe got 134, but Clark... 133, Perry 128, Fiala 128, Byfield 122, Kuzmenko 1 minute. So like they are getting time, and it's part of the reason I picked Fiala as runner up is because he is part of that unit's success. But yeah, Corey Perry, just to talk about Corey Perry because that's who we both picked as our King of the Week. To get 5 points in a week like that in a part of the season where. I mean, the Kings need offense, right? It's not even. I would say it's an open secret 3 weeks ago. It's now just the topic of discussion openly. Like everybody gets it. They're not scoring enough, even though against Tampa and Minnesota, the problem wasn't scoring; it was stopping scoring. But yeah, they need more reliable scoring. I would argue that they seem to have fixed the power play, and a lot of that is Corey Perry. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know how much stock I put in the concept of veteran leadership, but whatever value veteran leadership actually has, Corey Perry's obviously got it in spades, and we've heard Drew Doughty talk about it, and you know, we've seen his resume. So yeah, it's honestly, Russ, it's weirder to me now that we're talking about a 40-year-old than we are talking about a former member of the Ducks and the Oilers.
Who's been one of the better players of the season too. It's just
hilarious. Yeah. I mean, and also one of the few guys to exhibit physicality in the face of, you know, late hits or whatever you want to go. Like, I didn't think the hit on Turcotte was that bad at the end of the Lightning game. Mm-hmm. But there was Corey Perry getting in a fight. Like,
mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that game, that loss to Florida, where he had that fight late in the game.
Yeah.
And there was just nothing going on in the game. And Corey Perry just decided to drop the gloves. And who knows what that does in the locker room. I'm sure it does. It kind of wakes people up a little bit, opens their eyes, say, hey, look at this guy who's been in the league for how many years. And he's still kind of showing his might and wants to go out there and prove something while the rest of the team's maybe not getting going. So, I mean, he does it. And I think they went out and won a couple games after that. Who knows? It happens again in the Lightning game, and they go out and win a pretty entertaining game against the Wild, albeit in a shootout. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's the start. I mean, Jesse, we just need good, right? We need, like, some good right now. It's just been so mundane, I feel like, to watch this team. And, you know, like, I watch your post games, which are great, and you talk about it. It's just there's times where you're just sitting there, and I totally agree. It's like, as for us to trying to analyze this team, it's like, what do we say now? Like, we're watching just the same game over and over, where we're to the point where it's like, I don't even know how to evaluate this team anymore. Cause I know how to evaluate them, but I just don't even know how to, like, what to say to evaluate it. Cause I feel like I'm just repeating myself over and over, and it's getting to the point where you just get tired of saying it so much because you don't know what's going to happen next. Well, sometimes you kind of do.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to that in a second, but first I would just want to say congratulations, Corey Perry, this week's King of the Week. One of the most difficult things for me when it comes to evaluating this season, and I was thinking a lot about it earlier today, we have a baseline of what the Kings, I'm using heavy air quotes for people who can't see, should be and have been and, like, are because of the last four seasons. But imagine if you're Utah or Seattle or Montreal or Detroit or Buffalo, and this is a weird year, right? Like, the gap between second place and 30th place is, you know, I think I read somewhere that, like, 24th place is out of the players in the playoffs and 12th place is out of the playoffs because of the split between the East and the West. It's such a weird year. How could you possibly evaluate whether or not your team is actually good and, like, should make a move to bolster? You know, I see some people calling, like, well, the Kings will just, they'll hang around, they'll be in a playoff spot, and then they'll make a huge move at the trade deadline. And it's like, but should you? This is just a weird year. Like, you can't possibly trust any serious evaluation of where any team, other than Colorado. Colorado's good. We get it. The other 31 teams in the league, maybe Chicago understands, okay, we need to keep adding pieces. Vancouver maybe needs to blow it up finally. But, like, everybody else, I how do you know? Because every night you're watching the standings and they're just five teams are up and five teams are down based on one result. It's crazy to me. Like, I just don't know what to expect on any. It's such a weird season.
Yeah, I mean, we think about all the, like, the high-profile names that might get traded from these teams. I mean, the Kings are – I mean, I've heard the Ryan O'Reillys. Nashville is 1 point behind the Kings. I've heard Alex Tuch. Buffalo's now past the Kings. It's like – I mean – I think the thing with the Kings specifically, it's there was such a high bar set as far as expectations going into this year, I feel like. And that was mainly because of what management has kind of been saying over the season, saying, like, hey, repeating the 105 points from last year, we got in up some pros coming in this year where you're still a good team. So, I mean, with Ken Holland coming in, a lot of people, I guess maybe just myself, assume that this is a guy that's just trying to come in and get this team over the hump. So now it just kind of seems like they've been taking a step back. Whereas you're not seeing in a lot of the maybe positives that maybe management was hoping to see from some of the players that they brought in, even though I think a lot of us maybe assume that it would be kind of this way. So I think,
I'm going to put words in your mouth. Apologies. Even if we want to focus on the positives, which I'm assuming are like Perry, Armia, you know,
Kemper,
the Kings are on pace for 88 points right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's significantly less than 105. But as of today, that 88 points would get you into a playoff spot. And as dumb as it is, and as tired as people are of hearing it, the way that playoffs work in North America is that if you are in the playoffs, it literally does not matter what your record was. Now you have a new task, which is winning a best of seven series. Now, as of today, the Kings would face off against the Colorado Avalanche in a seven game series. And I don't think anybody's beating Colorado in the first round in a seven game series. Now, having said that, there have been plenty of powerhouse teams that have lost in the first round. So who knows, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I just, on top of it being a weird year, being hard to evaluate, there are all sorts of other things like, you know, this team lost Phil Deneau a quarter of the way through the season or whatever it was. This team had an incredible balance at the end of last year. And now, like, how do you evaluate the play of Andrei Kuzmenko? I don't know. How do you evaluate the play of Sammy Hellenius? How do you evaluate the play of Brant Clark? You know, Drew Doughty was out for a few weeks and then he's back in. How do you evaluate Trevor Moore and Warren Fogle in the absence of a stabilizing center like they had in last year's version of Phil Deneau? And now this year he was not playing well and now he's gone. And now we've got lines jumbled. And like, I don't know. The only thing I know how to compare to is the play of Darcy Kemper and I guess Doughty and Anderson, because they're still a pair. And like outside of that, I don't know how to evaluate any of it. It's just that's my biggest fear, is that because it's so hard to evaluate, you make decisions based on a faulty evaluation that you shouldn't make. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the discouraging thing that is kind of frustrating a lot of Kings fans is we've seen this team make the playoffs multiple times in the last four seasons, and we've seen what's happened when they go up against a good team. So now you're getting to the point where, can this team win a playoff round? And I think what's so frustrating is we don't see that right now. I mean, you just mentioned, like, if they go up against the Colorado team, they're more than likely going to get swept. I mean, it's like, what was that famous Daryl Sutter quote? It's like, it's just a waste of 2 weeks at this point. So, I mean, can they even beat, like, an Edmonton? I can't see that. Can they beat a Vegas? I can't see that. So I think that's what's so frustrating, is like, okay, playoffs are such a low bar for a lot of teams. Half the league makes the playoffs. And you said there's so much parity right now, which is great. But when it comes, push comes to the shove, I would say it's like, can your five best players beat our five best players? And at the moment, I don't think there's a lot of who are the five best players of the Kings right now? I don't think a lot of people know that. So that's another argument. But yeah, I just don't see that happening with a lot of the top teams right now in the NHL, especially in the West.
You know, it's funny, this thought just occurred to me while you were talking, so this is a little bit off the top, off the rip, so bear with me, but I wonder if the Kings aren't actually in a good space due to how crazy the season is, right? Like I said, it's very difficult to try and evaluate in this wacky season. If I was Buffalo, for example, I'd be terrified of making the wrong decision, because next year, if next year's normal and they're back at the bottom of the standings, but they've made a big trade to try and bolster themselves, well, then they've just shot themselves straight in the foot for the future, right? You know, on the gamble that they're better than they think they are. But, and again, this is just off the top of my head, because Kopitar is retiring, and because this summer the Kings have to make a lot of changes anyway, this might actually be the right kind of team to take a blind swing on an incomplete evaluation because of the weird season, because whatever decision the Kings make, they're going to have to make more in the offseason. Like, things are going to change regardless. Nobody saw the departure of Phil Deneau. We all know the departure of Anže Kopitar is coming up. We talked about the youth, you know, Hellenius and Turcotte, and now, you know, there's whether or not Wojciech Cihas or, you know, Brendan McMorrow or any of these guys are going to be able to make a push. You know, Jimmy Lombardi signed an entry-level contract. Like, things are going to start changing for your LA Kings. So maybe this is the right team to take a wild pinata like blindfolded swing at a move, because the window for it mattering is kind of short. I don't know. Like I said, it's just a thought that popped into my head while you were talking about potentially losing in the playoffs. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know. Like,
well, I think Ken Holland's probably thinking the same thing, right? I would guess probably Andre Kopitar would want him to take a swing too, going for his last season. And also, to me, that's very scary, though. Like,
yes,
this isn't a team that has a lot of future depth, I guess, or future assets that they can should just be wheeling and dealing. I mean, how many and how many players on the roster can you trade now to even improve the roster?
So, I mean, to be clear, I don't think there are any trades involving current roster players that make any sense. Any trade of a current roster player is at best one step forward, one step back.
It probably already happened, right? Like,
we saw what happened with Deneau. They traded Deneau for a draft pick. So you're already at a deficit for roster players. You know, I see people say, oh, well, trade, you know, like the goofy rumor that Nick Kiprios pitched the Austin Matthews for Quentin Byfield and plus whatever. And I've seen a bunch of people say, like, Quentin Byfield, Brandt Clark, you know, another player and Carter George and a first round pick. And it's
over the Toronto Maple Leafs.
But I mean, like, even if it was just Quentin Byfield for Austin Matthews, not that that would ever happen, but if somehow the magical hockey trade fairy came down and waved her magic wand and we got a one for one swap of Matthews and Byfield. Okay, for the next however many months, you'd have Kopitar and Matthews as your center depth. But next year, you still just have one center.
So right.
That one center is better, I suppose, arguably better. But, like, so what? You still don't have any depth. So, like, yeah, any trade that will happen will have to include picks and prospects. And that's unfortunate. But like I said, this team, I suspect, this summer will wind up – the path that this team is on – come this summer will have to be drastically different. So
this is such a weird year, Jesse. It's
totally
so weird.
Bonkers year. Yeah, no. I clocked it after two games, and honestly,
you did.
I thought I was kind of kidding. It was like a tongue half in cheek comment. I was like, oh, bizarro season. Here's some weird little details. Like, oh, funny, weird. I was just scrambling for something to talk about. We're 40 games in. This season got weirder than I ever could have imagined. It's friggin' insane.
I mean, it's across the league too. Everybody.
Yeah.
I
mean, no, it's
the Sabres are one of 10 game win streak. Like, that's how weird it is.
I mean, I'll look at the standings right now just for S&G. The gap between first place and let's just say ninth place is 20 points. The gap between ninth place and 31st place. There is no 20 points doesn't even get you the bottom of the league is 34 points. So 20 points out of ninth would be 29 points. Like, Colorado is obviously the class of the league. Dallas and Minnesota are very good. Tampa then it's just everybody else. And yeah, I don't know. What I want to know is, and there is no answer to this, is just me thinking out loud. Was this happening slowly over the last couple of years and we just didn't notice it? And this year is the inflection point, or is this just literally out of nowhere and there's no explanation for it? And next year will be go right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much is the
normal?
How much did the flat cap affect kind of these, this roster configuration?
Well, you know, did they finally get the parity they wanted? Mm-hmm. You know, is it, you know, I have a couple theories that don't have any basis in reality. They're just my own bias about,
I'm sure you do.
I just think, you know, my personal hunch, and like I said, I don't have any reason to suspect that this is true, but I just think the 20 years of focus, hyper-focus on skills over results has given us a league full of kids who are really good skaters at the age of 13, but maybe didn't know how to play hockey good. And so now the league is just full of hyper-talented, you know, skills phenoms. And the Kings
on that side, on the other side.
Well, but I mean, Jim Miller and Ken Holland both said, you know, everybody's playing defense and checking hard now. And it's like, well, are they? Because
I've
seen a lot of games that looked really sloppy.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know. That's, but like I said, just the theory. I don't know. I haven't paid attention. I don't pay close enough attention to the other 31 teams to know if any of that's true. It's just my hunch because that's my bias. Anyway, Russ, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm glad that you're enjoying Arizona, and we look forward to seeing you back at Crypto whenever that will be.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jesse. It was good seeing you again.